Turn with me to 1 Timothy 1. Before I jump in, I want to do something. If you'll engage with me. I just want to shift an atmosphere here. So if I want, I need for you to just engage with me. Just follow along. So Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I choose faith. I choose faith this morning. John 14:1 says, if I'll believe, that I can stand in faith. If I believe, my heart won't be troubled. Lord, I thank you, my heart is not troubled. I thank you, Lord. As I stand with you, Lord, you've already prepared a place for me. You've already gone before me. You prepared a place. You made every crooked place straight. You've gone before me so that you can receive me into your heavenly glory. I step in to be with you where you are. I'm received in you. Because you said I could be received in you. I choose to make you my way. There's no other way to the Father but through you. You have become my way. I rest in this way. I come, Lord, with an excitement for your way. I come, Lord, because you're not only my way, you're my truth. I allow you to be my truth. I engage you as my truth. I receive you as my truth this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you're the way and the truth and the life. You have become my life. All I have need of is in you. Everything that I need, I drink of you this morning. In your rest, in your peace, in your strength. You are that vine that I've attached to. Thank you, Lord. I want you to just drink of him. Because he is the one. When he becomes our vine, when he becomes our way, our truth. When he's the one that we draw on, he becomes our new root, our new foundation. He becomes the source that everything else flows through. When he's the source, every need I have gets met. When I stand with him as the source, everything that I'm needing flows out of him. Fullness flows out of him. Life flows out of him. You're established. How simple. How wonderful. As you step in with him, everything gets expanded. It's no longer just about me. It's about him. It's about the power of his spirit. It's about the power of the blood. In this place, there's no condemnation. In this place, there's no fear. Because all guilt, all iniquity has already been washed. You're washed in him. Cleansed. All iniquity is washed. His life flows over you. able to, in this place, yield to His Spirit. In this place, I yield to His love. I yield to the one who loves me. The one who covers me, transforms me. The one who values me. The one who acknowledges me. See, while I'm in this place, I'm actually free to be me. The me He created me to be. The me He longed for me to be. When the Word says He will establish you, this is where He establishes you. Lord, thank You for each one and each heart, Lord, that You're touching this morning. Amen. See, the atmosphere in here is a little different now. Amen. It took a few seconds. A few seconds. See, if you'll spend quality time with the Lord every day, engaging these things, your life is going to look so much different. Because it's going to come out of that place of fulfillment. It's going to come out of a sanctuary of His love. It's going to come out of this place where He's drawing close to you because you were deliberate to draw close to Him. Reality is His love's always here for us. It's available to us every moment of every day. The problem is that we don't always engage it. We don't always stop to listen for it. We're too busy running from here to there to there to there. And so what He's looking for is to draw you in. So why? So His heart can be full towards you. Notice all that was just Scripture. It was just Scripture. From front to back, it's just Scripture. All I'm doing is putting the Scripture together in a way that allows me to step in, to ride it like a wave. You know, to step in and recognize it's like a wave. You know, prophecy kind of works like that too, but entering in with Him can be just like that. You just ride with the wave. Because it's going to be different each time you do it. And every time you do it, it's going to be affected by where you've been, what you've been thinking about, those kind of things. But as long as it always comes back to reflect Him, it will draw you close. Some days you may spend more time doing a little bit of cleansing and washing with Him. Other days you won't necessarily need all that because you wake up and you're full of love. I don't know about you, but there's not every day that I wake up all full of love. I would like to wake up all full of love, but that doesn't happen every day. Some days, though, it does, and I love it when it does. When you wake up and there's a song of the Lord in your heart, you're just praising Him before you even get started. That's amazing. Let's see, I told you to go to 1 Timothy 1:18. All right. How many of you have received a word ever in your life? So 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18 says this, "The command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight." You know, when there's a word that comes forth over your life, that word is intended to empower you to something. That word is intended to take you somewhere. But every word, whether it's the Bible itself, this Bible is going to take me somewhere. The word that I received is going to take me somewhere. The very first word that I can remember ever seeing was a gentleman who was a prophet. I didn't know he was a prophet. He'd been pointed out to me that I needed to go to his Bible study. So I went to this Bible study and I get there and the man's just talking. And basically he begins prophesying to me about how I talk to my wife. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know her. And he begins telling me all these things. And I'm going, oh, because it wasn't nice. You know, when you don't get saved till you're 35, you've built up a lot of habits that were not holy or good. In that moment, I recognize there's something, though. I recognize, number one, there's a power and an authority that comes with that word. Because what it left me with was not shame. It left me with the knowledge that I can do better. The empowerment to do better. Never going to happen again because I'm going to live my life before you, Lord, perfect, that you don't have to just have somebody else tell me. You can just tell me. I've been living by that thing for a long time. Because why? If I'm listening and I got my ear open, God doesn't have to send somebody in my life to tell me. This prophet, he liked to tell me. I don't know if he liked to or not, but he certainly did. So he would tell me whatever, because he came and told me about my children one time too. And I was like, I hear you. Thank you. Goodbye. I wasn't gracious because he was saying things that I didn't want to hear. But the deal was, is again, it caused me to be able to change my life. Why? Because the word God has given you, the word he has planted in you, that word is going to take you somewhere. That word is going to empower you to be better than you were. It's going to empower you to step out of the things that you were into and into the calling and the glory of God. Hallelujah. Okay. So with this, by the prophecies, wage a good warfare. We're going to, by the prophecies, we're going to wage good warfare. Revelation 3 verse 8 says that he sets before us an open door. He sets before us an open door. Why? Because they honored the word. They honored the word. Honoring the word is what sets the door. Honoring the word gives them the opportunity to plant the door there for you. When we begin to hear the word and receive the word, understand the word, and keep the word, now we've set an atmosphere for God to interact with us. For his prophecy and the spirit of prophecy to interact with you. For the word itself and the change that comes by the word to interact with you. There's an open door. And I remember Sharon was teaching not too long ago. She just read out of Revelation 4:1, and it said there was an open door in front of John. And he spoke out of the heaven that spoke, come up here. As soon as she said that, there was a shift in the atmosphere, and I engaged God. I don't know what else she said the rest of the time, because I was engaging God for most of the time that she was up there teaching, because I was just like all of a sudden, it wasn't even like, it was a moment where I almost was just compelled. And I engaged him, because when she said, come up here, I engaged. God has something for us. So, with all that being said, that was a little background. Let's go to 2 Peter 1. And we're going to go down to verse 19 to start with. Second Peter 1 says this, verse 19, so we have the prophetic word made sure. We have the prophetic word made sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises, where? In your heart. by locking in on the word that he's sown and locking in on the prophetic that he's giving you, there's a place and a day dawning that goes upon you. It comes upon you. All of a sudden, you're shifted into an awareness and being able to see in ways that you might not have ever seen. You'll experience him in an accelerated place. When the prophetic word was made sure. What is he talking about? He's talking about the transformation. They went and they saw, let's just back up for a moment. Verse 16. We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mount. What is he describing? He's describing the actions, the things that happened at the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus was there and he began to just glow in the holy anointing that he has. What happened in that moment, his divinity was revealed for all to see. Something that he had been kept hidden all throughout their walk with him, all of a sudden, in a moment, became gloriously visible. The glory that was upon his life, the divinity that was upon his life, became apparent. That shift was something that happened. It was a prophetic completion and a prophetic declaration about what was to come. It was the completion of many words of the Old Testament who were speaking about who the Son of Man, who this Jesus, who this Christ was. It was a completion of even just a few days earlier, Peter had declared, and you see that in Matthew 16, a few days earlier, Peter had declared that Jesus was the Christ. That's not an accident. He declares him as the Christ. 6 days later, he reveals himself as the Christ. Why is that important? Because, see, we're making the prophetic known. Where all the prophecy that had been spoken about this, all the prophecy that was released about this now comes into a moment of completion. But it also sets forth a new moment of completion that has yet to come. This didn't happen when Peter's talking about this. This didn't happen just out of nowhere. He's actually using this as the conclusion of his argument that he'd been giving you earlier in the chapter. He'd been having a discussion and declaring things, but he wanted you to know how sure it is. And basically what he's saying here, we know the prophecy's sure because we actually looked at it. You know, most of the things in the kingdom are about us standing in faith so that we can see. In this particular case, they got to see, and so they can relay the faith to you. The eyewitness happened so that, why? They can convey to you the truth. So they can convey to you not only the truth of who Jesus was, not only the truth of his divinity, but also the truth of what is yet to come for you. So let's go with me and let's see a little bit about the rest of his argument here. I'm going to back up just to verse 11. For in this way, entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. When we understand everything that Peter is declaring up to this point, we can begin to understand our assurance to have an engagement and an entrance into the kingdom of God, an entrance into the place of his anointing, an entrance into all that we've been, what we've been teaching you, how to come and before him. Because the more we stand in that entrance, the more that we're going to come into alignment with everything that's declared. Hebrews says that Jesus is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of his person. Do you realize if it's in Jesus, it's supposed to be in us? Now, I also know that that's a truth, but I also know that not every part of my life looks like that. But the more that I subject myself to this truth, the more that I enter in and engage with this truth, the more that I can begin to see myself the way he's declaring it. When his word, like I believe Pastor Ana was sharing earlier, says that we're holy and blameless. How many of you feel holy and blameless every moment of every day? But is it a truth? It's the truth that God has set before us. It's the truth that we get to live in. And when we come into his presence, guess what? When we're in him, when we're engaging him, when we've ascended with him in that place, that is truth. And it's truth, it's absolute truth because you're living in an atmosphere of absolute faith. You're living in that moment in an area where there's no condemnation. There's no guilt. There's no shame. You're living and engaging in a place where there's a limitless possibility because there's no fear to control. That's the fruit of engaging and ascending with him. That's the fruit of allowing him to speak into your life freely because I don't need a barrier. I don't need to protect myself from someone who totally loves me. Let me say that again. All our defense mechanisms are unnecessary when I'm standing in front of one who loves me totally and completely with no reservation. All those other things were things we learned from the world system around us. We didn't learn it from the Spirit of God. He rewrites what's necessary to be rewritten so that no more shame, no more condemnation, no more guilt, no more intimidation, no more nothing that is not God is there and all that is God gets magnified. So his entrance will be ministered to you. We enter in as a result of his power being applied to our life. So let's go back up to this verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. His divine power has granted to you everything pertaining to life and to godliness. If you guys understood the power in that, you'd have been jumping up and running down the pews. My point is that life and godliness, everything that you have need of for life and godliness has already been supplied to you. It is actually important for me to understand the completeness of that. When I understand the completeness of that, it removes a lot of doubt. It removes a lot of unbelief because it begins to set me in the same path that he's on. It sets me in the surety and the safety of what he's declaring. When I understand everything that's been supplied, that means I'm no longer lacking. You know, it's really hard for some of the people to think of themselves as godly. We have those old tapes that play. Do you know what tapes are playing? The tapes that said, you're never going to amount to anything. The tapes that said, you're not good enough. They're always going to remember what you did in the seventh grade. You know that tape. The tape that says, nobody loves me. And you might put on a cheery face. But if no one loves you inside, it's really hard for you to feel the love. When I was in junior high and high school, I learned, we moved a lot. So I learned that, A, I can lie to people because I'll never have to live up to it because we'll be moving again in 6 months. Then I learned that I can be anything I want. As long as I'm lying, I can just say whatever I want. You know, that was really hard to live up to when we didn't move anymore. But in that process, I learned to be the world's greatest chameleon because I could be what you needed. I wasn't being me. I was being what I thought you wanted. Then when I'm hanging out with Tim, I'm being what Tim needs. When I'm hanging out with Carlene, I'm being what Carlene needs. Now, if you're all in the same room together, it's a little bit more difficult. But my point is, even if Tim accepted me for who I was being, he was never accepting me because that wasn't me. You never find acceptance in those things. All that was defense mechanisms. But you don't need it when somebody loves you for who you are. God loves you for who you are. Amen? I guess part of my point here was that is, what are you training your mind to believe about yourself? That was the whole point of the old tapes. See, the old tapes have conditioned your mind to think certain things about you. But if those old tapes don't line up with what Jesus says, it's all lies. And it all needs to go away. God has something. He has truth for you to inhabit. And he has truth for your life. He has truth that you can begin to rise up in and to recognize and overwrite the old tapes with a new tape called a new creation. That new creation, to get that born again expression of who God is, gets to take precedence. And guess what? I quit responding to the old thing. Okay, so his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. I want you to understand that is something that we probably have to train our mind for, at least initially. When we're doing this, we're going to have to overwrite whatever it is that we've been telling ourselves. We're going to have to recognize it first and then go, wait a second, I have life. I have everything I need for life. I have everything I need for godliness. This is who he declares me to be. I get to walk in it. There's a process here. It says, for by these, by that grace and peace, he's granted to me his precious and magnificent promises in order that you might become partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Having partakers become partakers of a divine nature. You know, once I become a partaker of divine nature, I'm not struggling to do it. If I'm a partaker of it, I'm not in a series of efforts to get there. I'm not having to earn it. He actually goes on right there and he says, now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith. I don't have to earn it. I can step from earning it into entering in with him. I can step out of earning it and into entering into faith for his glory. Entering into faith for his heart to be expressed in me. Entering into faith for his acceptance. Entering into faith that I can receive from him. When I step into the entering into faith, I've shifted and transformed my whole world and my whole outlook. Notice something else here. Verse 5, when I step into to faith, I said, applying all diligence in your faith, now then, I can supply moral excellence and moral excellence knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. It's a progression, but it has to start with faith. That progression is there because why? Because those are the things that are going to naturally happen as we are getting more and more exposed to Christ. As we enter in with Him, there's going to be a transformation that happens in our hearts that is now expressed in this way. But that expression comes because you started in the place of faith. A while ago when we were reading, when I was quoting out of John 14:1, it starts with believing the Father and believing the Son. Then you find that acceptance. You find He prepared a place for you. You find that He wants you to be with Him where He's at. You find that He has a place established for you. But it starts out of faith. If I'm trying to earn my place and I skip over faith and I just try to just come and love somebody just because, guess what? That's going to be a little tough. Sooner or later, something's going to happen. And it might be, it might be 5 minutes or it might be 5 weeks, but it's going to happen. What is it? Dave said he tried to put on love and he lasted like 3 weeks. He lasted 3 weeks, I think, into this. And he's probably a little bit better at it than I am because I don't think I'm going to last 3 weeks if I just do it out of my own strength. But when he engaged, see, when God has given us to engage, we start with faith. I start with faith because faith gets me to enter in. Now that I've entered in with Him, now whatever else I'm doing, it's because I'm learning a lesson with Him. It's because I'm learning and coming into an appreciation of the value of patience with Him, not because I'm trying to gin up patience. If you've ever prayed for patience, you'll understand what I just said. If you haven't, then please do so this week, and next week you'll know. See, patience must come out of the work of God in your life, not because you're trying to work God into your life. That's a very different statement. So we become partakers of a divine nature, and it starts with faith. We move from entering, from earning it to entering in. We have faith to enter and faith for accepting, faith for receiving. A lot of times we're trying to earn it because we were never understanding that it was already completed. A lot of times we're trying to earn it because we haven't yet understood it was already completed. That I'm actually accepted. That I'm actually valued. That I'm actually loved just as I am. When I can understand that, now I'm ready to actually enter into love. When I can understand it by faith, then all of a sudden I can stand in it in reality. Because why? Because your faith shifted the reality. So we build it all on faith. So in our godliness, so in that process, you're going to come across an end to the selfishness. Verse 7, it says, in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. Now we all of a sudden, we're having godliness in our life. We're having an end to the selfishness. Why? Because God's love is never selfish. And it teaches us how to not be selfish. It teaches us how to reach into something that's beyond us and beyond what we can do in our natural strength, but begin to understand out of His abundance. And for these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful for the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, having forgot his purification from his former sins. In other words, we've already been purified. When you're standing in faith, that faith is what begin that process, and that process of purification that happens in your heart. But we can't forget about that later down the line. Things like ambition, unworthiness, fear. They all want to keep us locked in. Pride wants to keep us locked in. It wants to keep us from seeing what God has already gotten for you, what He's already established for you, what He's already made you to be, who He's already created you to be. And it's in that fullness of that that He's releasing His truth into your heart. If I can't see, if I'm in unworthiness, that means I can't actually see the value. If I'm in unworthiness, I'm not actually standing in agreement with my Savior. That's actually dishonor to God. I honor Him by agreeing with what He's saying about me, even when I don't feel it. The thing that's going to keep you from entering in is having unworthiness. But He already declared me worthy. So even if I don't feel it in that moment, I come into agreement. Lord, You said I'm worthy. I'm going to accept You at Your word, and I'm going to stand in it. And you know what? And I stand in it. Then He begins to come in, and He begins to say, Son, I want you to know I'm proud of you. Son, I want you to know how much I value you. And guess what? Unworthiness just disappears. You can't gin it up on your own. Just be honest with Him. Glory to God. Make more certain about His calling, verse 10, and His choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. In other words, reaffirm your foundation in His forgiveness. Reaffirm your foundation in who you are and who He says you are. Reaffirm that He's already established it in you. And for in this way, we got back to where we started in the verse 11. In this way, this entrance into the kingdom of God will be abundantly supplied. You have an entrance into the kingdom. You have every right into the kingdom. You have every right into His heart because He's already claimed and proclaimed His heart for you. He claimed you on that cross that moment. He claimed you. He acknowledged you. He accepted you. He's receiving you. So Peter, James, and John lived in a unique time. They lived in a moment where an area of fulfilled prophecy. Can you imagine walking with Jesus, everything that you've ever heard? They lived in that minute, in that moment. And all of time, everything that had happened before that was speaking to them about what was going to happen when the Messiah came. And now they're living with the Messiah. They're seeing prophecy after prophecy being fulfilled. They're seeing the prophecies being related and released. And they're seeing the fulfillment of everything that God had said. When they went to the Mount of Transfiguration, guess what? More prophecy was fulfilled. But it also began to set a whole new standard out there for you and for me. Because not only was it saying about what was going to happen today, it was also prophesying about what would happen tomorrow. And they said, that prophecy for what's going to happen tomorrow is just as sure as the one that we've already seen, the one we've already walked in. They said that prophecy that's happening tomorrow about the coming and the divinity of Christ and the glory of God coming upon the people of God is just as sure as today as it is going to be in 2,000, 3,000 years when it actually happens. They understood in that moment, because we've seen the fulfillment of everything else, that one is just as sure today, right now, when we're standing there looking forward, as the ones that we can look backward and see have accomplished. They told us about that so we would have faith for what God would do in our hearts. We would have faith for what He was going to bring so that we wouldn't be lost looking for it someday. You don't have to wait till you die to enjoy Jesus. You don't have to wait till you die to come into a contact and an interface with Him, because He wants an interface with you today. He wants an interface with you right now. And He says, I've already made it happen. And guess what? Guess what? Even the glory. What did Romans 8 tell us? Those He justified, He also glorified. Guess what? That's applying to you. Because He justified, and He was justifying all of us in that moment of the cross. But He said, I'm also, this is for, I'm showing you a prophecy that I'm going to glorify you. It's going to be released to you. When He justified and He glorified. Guess what? Transfigure. Okay, you got words like transform, transmogrify, and transfiguration. Transfiguration is different than the others because they all involve change. But this one is change that exalts, change that glorifies. You see it on His person because He became glowing like a light bulb. You can see it in, and guess what? The covering of the Holy Spirit was there, and the Lord, the Father Himself, was speaking into their hearts and into their lives, in their hearing. But in that moment, He was exemplifying what He was making available for you and for me. He was making available all that we have need of for life and godliness. When I walk in the fullness of life, when I walk in the fullness of life, there's things pouring out of me because there's fullness of life there. When I stand in life, there's a fullness of life that's released. To walk in the glory. I don't know about you, but there's something that burns in me. There's something that burns in me. To see things change. To see things, see people be healed. Physically, emotionally. To see people be restored. To see wheelchairs emptied out. There's something that burns in me. And guess what? He's saying, we're going to be able to walk in that same glory. So what are you training your mind to think about? Am I training my mind to think about my problem? Or am I training my mind to think about what He's declared over me? When I look upon His promises and I begin to recognize His promises in my life, recognize the potential of those promises in my life, I'm training my mind for something different. When I'm beginning to understand and look at and hold those promises, hold that word in my heart, I'm holding the word in my heart, now that word can start multiplying and being magnified in my heart. And guess what? When the word is multiplied in your heart, it's going to come out somewhere. You can't keep it in. When you hold the word, you can't keep it in. Because why? The word is now something that's going to be released. And guess what? When it releases, as it releases, it's going to create doors for you. As it releases, it's going to create an open door that takes you where God has already described for you to be able to go. It's going to open things that you can't open. It's going to shut things that you never had any part of. It's going to be able to come and recognize and cause you to recognize the difference between the two. It's going to cause you to recognize the difference between the deception of the enemy and His truth. And you're going to be able to walk in the fullness of His truth, knowing the heart of the God that is behind it. Why? Because now I'm in agreement with Him on everything that He's doing. All desire for the other things in life will drift away as I begin to hold His word and His truth and realize He prepared a place for me. He accepts me. And as I see that, then I can recognize that shift that He's looking for is ready to available to me. Amen? Train your mind to think. Realize you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. And there's one place you get to experience the mind of Christ. That's in His presence. So go stand in His presence. Engage the mind of Christ. Because everything that he has been promising you, it's out in front of you, but it becomes now something that you can begin to obtain. Not just a promise, but like they were standing in, it's already a fulfilled prophecy. Peter saw it as already fulfilled. You can see it as already fulfilled in your life. Amen?